but we try our best every day, every dollar, to make sure and give everybody a chance at their true heartfelt wish. And no other organization does that. Who else can say, make a wish and then grant it? Not a one. And it makes me forever proud to be part of this organization.
Welcome to World of Wishes, the podcast that brings you inspiring stories of hope, magic, and the incredible people who make wishes come true. I'm your host, Richard Kelly. I'm so glad you're here with us today. In this episode, we have a very special guest joining us, Sherry Gutierrez. Sherry wears many hats in her volunteer work with Make-A-Wish. From wish granting to fundraising, she's deeply involved in bringing joy and hope to countless lives. And if that wasn't enough, she's also the lead architect for the Finker Frankel Wish House, our new home which embodies the heart and spirit of our organization. Today, Sherry will share the story of how she first got involved with Make-A-Wish, what motivates her to stay so dedicated, and how rewarding it is to make a difference in so many meaningful ways. So sit back, get ready to be inspired, and let's dive into Sherry's incredible journey. Wish granter, fundraiser, captain of the Purple Pigs, lead architect for the Finker Frankel Wish House. Sherry Gutierrez does it all. And Sherry's so happy to see you here today, have you here on World of Wishes, and eager to talk to you about all of the different things that you are involved with Make-A-Wish.
It is my pleasure, and thank you very much for having me.
I don't know where to start, but we'll start at the beginning. We'll start with your Make-A-Wish volunteer career and where that started, and how did you really pick up this advocacy for Make-A-Wish?
Sure. So my sister, Brenda Beatty, was involved in Make-A-Wish prior to me. And every time I wanted to see her on a weekend or a weekday, I'd always be like, oh, well, I have a thing for Make-A-Wish. Everything's, I have a thing for Make-A-Wish. I need to go here. I need to go there. So I kind of figured if I was going to ever see my sister, I'd have to go to a thing for Make-A-Wish. So slowly but surely, I got roped in, let's say. I attended some of the Walk for Wishes, some of the donor events, donor dinners. When she became board chair, I was there, and I sort of was invited by this group of friends and family that she had already made at Make-A-Wish, who brought me in, you included, Norm, of course, as well. And I just sort of started getting more involved in the mission, so it became a little less about being with my sister, but more involved and understanding of really what does Make-A-Wish do. I think that there's a misnomer of what people think Make-A-Wish is. And when I really learned about it, I was like, wow, that's kind of not what I thought. And I'm really glad I figured it out, because I want to do this. I want this to be part of my life. Very lucky to have two healthy children so far. And I do feel that it is our responsibility as humans to pay that forward. So slowly but surely, after going to different events, I sort of upped my level of involvement, and I signed up to be a volunteer wish granter with my sister. So that was another thing that we got to do together, and met some amazing people and amazing families along the way, and really a process, I think, that changed my life, not just for me, but for my family. At the time when I started, my boys were young. And whenever I was meeting a new wish child, they would make an icebreaker gift or a card or something to give to that child from them. And it kind of made it a little bit more personal from me. It wasn't just something from a store. And it was sort of from child to child, and really wanted them to be involved in part of the process and understand their responsibility as future philanthropists in 30 years from now. So I was chugging along very happily with my wish granting. I was also involved or roped in naively to the Broward Walk for Wishes. So I live in Broward, and we started a team with my sister originally at the helm. And slowly but surely, I think my drive and my ambition to increase that team and to amp up our sense of responsibility, both from a participation standpoint, from a financial standpoint, kind of overtook that. So safe to say, maybe I took over the team and became the captain. And we dubbed ourselves the Purple Pigs, which is from a restaurant in Chicago, of all things, a very odd story. And from there, we've charted on. We're probably a team every year of about 80 to 100 little piglets that show up and walk or run and actually do the miles. But certainly our entire team as a group reaches out to all their friends and family network all over the country to raise money for Make-A-Wish. And I'd say we've had a few good runs. I might challenge Make-A-Wish lore, but I'm going to say that probably our team has raised over $1 million since our initiation into the Walk for Wishes, maybe even a little bit more. So that's super fun and exciting. And no disrespect to Make-A-Wish, but everyone calls it sort of the Purple Pigs race. When are we doing Purple Pigs? When are we doing Purple Pigs? And it's become a good lot of fun with a great group from Make-A-Wish that supports me and my crazy ideas of what we want to do and how we want to do it to continue it to grow and continue to raise awareness in our community. And then lo and behold, I was invited to sit on this crazy board. Mm-hmm. And I've been a board member since 2015. And that has been an extraordinarily fulfilling experience. So I've been able to sort of sit in all different hats within the organization and see how things are done from different perspectives. That's when we started our drive for the location of our Wish House. So I became a board member and had, you know, different responsibilities from that vantage point of obviously looking out for the best interests of Make-A-Wish, Southern Florida, and what we were doing and how we were, you know, appropriating funds and granting wishes. And then I was tasked to work with a site selection committee. You know, I was approached by Sharif and Norm that, you know, we want to build a Wish House. We feel very strongly about this. You're an architect. You work for a world-renowned architectural firm. We trust in you. We believe in you. And go find us a new home. And off we went. So that was yet another hat that I wore under the Make-A-Wish umbrella. And that was quite a few years that we searched as a group of us, Ben, George, or Joe, Scott, myself, site after site after site. And we finally came on this one where we sit today. And then it was, okay, that's great. You found it. Now we're going to reward you and you get to design the building, right? So Make-A-Wish entrusted me as my role on the board, also as a principal with Architectonica, to design this beautiful building and really make a statement in our hometown and an impact on our community and give the awareness that everybody can say, hey, I know them, I know where they are, I know what they do, and really bring in additional members of our community who might not have known what we were doing before and increase, most importantly, the wish experience for our families. So bringing a wish child to this building, even as as a grown adult, it's absolutely magical. My experiences as a wish granter and going to meet with a lot of these children and their families, sometimes in impoverished conditions, you know, very sickly conditions. So it's very hard for them to sort of think outside of their environment. Even when you're trying to push and give, you know, a child all of the possibilities. And I believe that bringing them here and having them go through WishWorks and really experience the true magical nature of what it is we're able to provide and how we're able to heal their soul in this building and this experience is something that any child, you know, fighting an illness should be able to experience, because it truly is the silver lining for all of that. I mean, I'm the eternal optimist. I truly believe and will find a silver lining in everything. And I feel that Make-A-Wish is that silver lining, which is why, to me, Make-A-Wish resonates so deeply.
It's quite the resume of volunteer experience, and not just being a volunteer, but being an effectual volunteer, somebody that has you know, put their hand in so many different things, but have such a great effect. I want to go back to the wish granting element of your volunteer experience. And when you started, was there that spark when you were on a wish? Was there something that said, this means just so much and I want to do more? Was there something specific? Was there a specific wish? There was a specific time that you remember that said, okay, well, you know, I want to do this. I want to do this in a much bigger and deeper way.
I think after you do your first wish, it's kind of like a drug, right? In a good way. And it gives you a high that you cannot experience anywhere else, truly and magically, because it's something that you're doing as a selfless act for the good of a complete stranger to impact their lives and the lives of their family in the most beneficial way possible at a time where they need people the most, right? And once you have that impact and you're part of it and you see how special it is to not just the child but the family, and being able to talk to the moms, the dads, the brothers, the grandparents, and really understand their perspective and how each one of them played a particular role in, you know, ultimately the sickness and hopefully the health of that child, it really makes you want to do more and to give more, because there's not just one person that's affected. It's 10, 20, or, you know, however many that are involved in that family unit. And to be able as a person or a team of wish granters, even though it's, you know, two people who go, but it's a team of probably 200 people that touch a wish, is something you can't even put a price on it. You can't buy that feeling. And it's something that keeps you wanting to do more and more and more. And as wishes grow and as imaginations grow and as things become more readily available, it's very exciting to be able to talk to a child and have them do something that might as well, it could even be your wish. You know, it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And then, you're continuing your Make-A-Wish journey. The Walk for Wishes comes around. You're a co-captain, eventually the captain of this team that has become a force, as you said, $1 million, and no reason to believe that it's not $1 million or somewhere close. That's a Herculean feat, how it's done. You know, small dollar amounts, a lot of people, a lot of advocacy, a lot of cheerleading, a lot of coaching, you know, just a lot. It's a lot of effort that goes into that. Why is that part of it so important to you? I know you're a very social person. This is a social group who has grown over the course of time. But why is having the effect, the positive effect on Make-A-Wish, how does it materialize itself there, and why is that part of it so important to you?
Because I think the walk and the Purple Pigs team really breaks things down in a community level and gives a touch point for the community to relate to what Make-A-Wish does. Not all of, you know, the Purple Pigs or anybody who attends an event, whether it be Walk for Wishes or other, have the opportunity to meet a wish child, to hear about their experience, to sort of have a tangible impact where they can see things and hear things in a different way rather than just donating the money, right? So encouraging people to come and show up and listen to the wish kids to get a sense of the feeling of the environment of, you know, hundreds of people who are trying to do right by their community is something that's important to me, and it's something that I think people don't necessarily pay enough attention to until you kind of whack them over their head and say, hey, you know, come, it's super fun. And there's so many different, there's something for everybody, right? So whether you're an avid runner such as yourself, you want to get your steps in, you want to come out and have a great walk with your dog, you want to bring your kids and have them, you know, experience a lot of the kids activities there, there's kind of something for everyone. But overarchingly, the message of what Make-A-Wish does is broadcast on a much broader scale, and it's much more impactful, I think, when you're all together than when you're at home watching a clip of a wish granting. You know, it has an impact, but when you look around at, you know, 800 people that are all in awe listening to an 8-year-old talk about how they went to Aulani in Hawaii, it's a much different experience, and it really does engage people. And that same sort of high that I talked about of being a wish granter and doing that first wish permeates. And if you can even get at least 5 people out of 800 to then either become volunteers or wish granters or want to donate more or want to become more involved, then that's a great day.
Tell me about the sense of pride that you have when you're standing there at the event. You see all these sea of people wearing purple, and then they're in a bigger sea of people that are just there because they're do-gooders that are out on a Saturday morning walking, running, raising money. What's that sense of pride like to know how much money you've raised and what this Purple Pigs, this group, has become?
In some ways, it's a little bit indescribable, and I think that's from different perspectives. For me personally, Sherry, to be able to motivate hundreds of people to either donate or come to the event or both and show up. A lot of my network is in Miami, as my job is in Miami, but I have a great group of friends also in Broward. But to have them come and show up for me is something, as a person, as a human, so rewarding, so rewarding. You're like, wow, I did a good thing and people might kind of like me, right? Mm-hmm. But then to be able to have them also support you and your mission is a home run, right? They could go anywhere. They could be involved in any other, not-for-profit organization. But they chose Make-A-Wish partly because I probably bullied them into it, because I might have a habit of doing that, and partly because it's the best organization, in my opinion, to be involved in with what we do and how we do it. And then to be able to stand up in front of a group of people that have come to an event that, you know, not that I organize, but that I organize with Make-A-Wish, and have a great time and see smiles and see children running around and have the experience to meet with many, many of the Wish kids that show up and hear their stories and have them come to me personally and thank me for granting their wish is beyond magical. There's nothing in the world that gives you that feeling.
You're not only the captain of the Purple Pigs, but you're the chair of Walk for Wishes Broward, which, by the way, is on January 25th of 2025 at Nova Southeastern. And anybody that wants to organize a team to knock Sherry off and the Purple Pigs off of the number one ranking, I'm sure you'd be fine with that.
100%. I in fact, encourage everybody every year. It's not about the Purple Pigs or us raising the most money. It kind of started a little bit as a competition between myself and my brother-in-law who could raise more money in the very beginning days of the Walk for Wishes. I, of course, won. But it started just a friendly little family competition. And when you realize how easy it is, it's an ask. People can say no, that's for sure. But a lot of people say yes. And that's the best part about it.
You mentioned your son was also tangentially involved in some of the wishes that you've done, or one of your sons, I should say. He's also a fundraiser. He's raised money for Make-A-Wish through his school. Can you talk about the sense of pride as a mom that you felt for him and for, you know, the ability to adopt another wish?
That was an amazing day. The principal of his school came to one of the Walk for Wishes because he asked her to. She also has to be a wonderful, wonderful lady, Elaine Safe, huge Red Sox fan. Her and I connected immediately, and when Max asked her to come, she's like, of course I'll come. So she came, and she saw the power of what we do. And she said, next year, I want Biz Panther Run Elementary to raise enough money to grant a wish, and I want to have an end-of-the-year assembly, you know, and this is what I want to do. And between she and Max and all the Make-A-Wish staff, you know, Mary, Emily at the time, everybody helped support them to do that because that was their mission. And at the end of the year, they granted a wish to Charlotte. I think her wish was to go surfing. I should remember this better, but
in Hawaii.
In Hawaii. Yeah. And it was the shock on her face because she had no idea. She thought she was coming to an elementary school to speak to students about, right, you know, being sick and what that was like. And a little girl in their community and someone who they can relate to in an elementary school to try to understand what it is to do right for another child, someone you don't know. And so excited they all were when she came in, and like they could almost not, you know, keep the secret. And it was an amazing experience for them, I think, sort of as a school, from the principal's perspective, the teachers, the children, the parents, and everyone who were involved in making that happen. And it really did spark interest from a lot of people who were part of that wish into Make-A-Wish.
Mm-hmm. The tentacles of Make-A-Wish, you know, just continue to grow. And when you have these amazing advocates for us, it just seems like that's the natural progression. I want to talk about the Finger Frankel Wish House, because we're sitting in the building today doing recording, and I know that it's been a multiple year project, and what your company, Architectonica, literally got on the ground floor, no pun intended, of, you know, the design of the building and all the way through its completion. Can you talk about the building a little bit and sort of how an idea or how the concept of this slanted all glass building that you know, it's at 95, it's in its shadow in downtown, near downtown Miami, how the project came along and what the public wouldn't know about, and what you can share with us, what the public wouldn't know about this project and how this concept really came from, you know, written on a napkin to what it is today.
So I think our goal was to create a space that was as ambitious as the minds who wanted to create the building. And that's a pretty lofty goal. And the design and shape of the building in some way comes from the star of Make-A-Wish, right? And the prow of the building, if you will, reaches up and over, right? And it's arching out and it's angling out and it's sort of skyward reaching, as much as we believe the hopes and dreams and wishes of the families that are served in this building also reach for the sky. Trying to create that sense of, you know, of limitless, of reaching, and to really make a space that would also help connect donors and wish families, right? So this is now a very, you know, multi-purpose building. It's obviously, you know, where we're housed now, but we have this amazing wish workspace, which children and their families are going to experience for years to come. And they're going to be able to identify their most heartfelt wishes, but they're going to have a place to come back and tell everybody their story and tell their donor their story. And we have a building that marks a point in history, not just for the organization, but for those families, you know, rather than sort of having just a notch on their belt from home, they have a building and a space that sort of commemorates their involvement, their struggles, and, you know, coming out on the upside. And having the ability to have functions here and donors here and all of the people who are involved in Make-A-Wish, not just sort of sit at home and watch, you know, YouTube videos or news clips on what we do, but to come here and experience it and really make that connection is the most important part of what we do. Because that's really when you get hooked, when you see the impact, when you're part of the impact, when, you know, a 9-year-old kid comes to you and thanks you for sending him on a shopping spree or to go see the Red Sox or to meet the Miami Dolphins or whatever the case may be. That's the moment the magic happens, that connection. And that connection can only happen here. So the building had to be as magical as that connection needs to be.
I'm going to ask you to put your architect hat on. There are some construction challenges with a 14-degree slanted building. Is that accurate? And what opportunities do those challenges present?
Well, we like to say as architects, we have challenges with every building, mm-hmm. right? Because if there were no challenges, it would be too easy. So I think it's a very unique building. It creates for a lot of unique spaces. It's a full curtain wall building, so you have glass on, you know, all four sides. You have the ability to see the community around you, but more often the community to see you. It creates a very iconic shape on the skyline, right? It's a very important forward-facing I-95 property across from a bustling downtown. And we felt we had to do something a little out of the ordinary. But through proper space planning and those sorts of things, you're able to work the spaces to rectify them so that the internal use of the space is still, you know, 100% usable and we're not creating any awkward conditions. But certainly was a challenge. But between, you know, ourselves as architects and the team that built the building and the team that designed the curtain wall and all those people, again, part of their involvement and wanting to do for Make-A-Wish and wanting to make a 14-degree angle curtain wall work, no ifs, ands, or buts, right? We're going to do this. We can do this. It's no problem. And throughout the entire process, through the design and through the construction of the building, nothing was ever a problem. It was like, you know what? We're going to figure it out. This is Make-A-Wish. It's too special. And this is what we have to do. And we're going to put all of our best feet forward and make it work.
We did see and hear a lot of that during the process with everybody who who had their fingerprints on the building. We just have to make this work. This is Make-A-Wish. And we have to make this the best because this is Make-A-Wish. And that filled us with a lot of pride and a lot of sense of this is going to be a magical building because everybody that put their fingerprints on it had that goal in mind. First class, magic, and the Wish children and the families deserve it. What was the ribbon cutting like for you? You were obviously around for the groundbreaking. You saw the building in its form all the way up to when we actually cut the ribbon and people walk through and they walk through WishWorks and all of that. What was that day like for you?
It was quite a party, I have to say. You guys put on quite the ribbon cutting event. People should certainly take note on how you guys did it. But I think having people in the building for the first time and listening to the comments about the design of the building, about the WishWorks space, about, you know, how great, you know, what a magical experience Susan and her team created, about the ability that we're going to have to really be on the forward and cutting edge of fundraising for the organization and how this is going to open us up to new opportunities and people who frankly didn't know Make-A-Wish was even in Florida or what we did or how we did it. And to listen to the stories of the Wish children who came back, you know, Devin and Chris, Marina, and have them be part of this for them and being able to see the look on their faces after what they went through, that they were able to be part of this as well, and that I personally was part of it and that I could see how much it meant to them is a day I'll never forget. It's kind of like, you know, your wedding, the birth of your kids, and Make-A-Wish ribbon cutting.
It's remarkable. So, we've talked for the last 25 minutes or so about what you have given to us, what you have provided to us, what you have provided to Make-A-Wish, the families, this building, the revenue from Purple Pigs and all of that. And I want to ask what you have gotten out of the experience. What has your affiliation with Make-A-Wish done for you as a person? I mean, this has been a multiple year odyssey for you to be involved here. What has that done for you?
It's probably one of the best things I do in my life that grounds me. The sense of perspective that you get being involved with this organization from all aspects of the leadership of the organization, you and Norm and the way that you approach things, the board, the wish granters, the wishes, the children, the families. You know, whenever things seem really bad, I kind of always go back to Make-A-Wish and I'm like, you know what? They're really not that bad, right? And there's other things that could be happening that could be a lot worse for everybody. And I do believe that, you know, as a society, we take good health for granted. It was the only thing money can't buy. Even with all the money that we raise and all the wishes that we grant and all the good that we try to do to lift up hopes and spirits, it's not a given, it's not a guarantee. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, our kids don't make it, which is horrible. But we try our best every day, every dollar, to make sure and give everybody a chance at their true heartfelt wish. And no other organization does that. Who else can say, make a wish and then grant it? Not a one. And it makes me forever proud to be part of this organization.
Well, we thank you for being such a great ambassador. We've talked over the last 30 minutes about all of the different things that you've done for this organization. We are eternally grateful. We're grateful for you being an ambassador, for being that cheerleader, motivated, the pain in the butt, all of it, all of that entire package. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful that you shared your story with us of that journey. And we got a little insight into the Wish House and how that has really generated a new era of us granting wishes in Miami. And that's really exciting as a 42-year-old organization. It's an exciting era for us, and we're only looking for bigger and better things. Thank you again for being here. Thank you again for, again, being such a great ambassador, and looking forward to bigger and better things moving forward.
Thank you.
Thanks to Sherry, and thank you for listening to this special episode of World of Wishes, produced by Make-A-Wish Southern Florida. To learn more about how you can join Sherry in helping make wishes come true, visit us at wish.org/SFLA. We also ask for your help in supporting this podcast by rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you get your podcast, and tell a friend. You can also listen to our archive shows at worldofwishespodcast.org. Why you keep it-